0818 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. And 51551 is our text number. You just heard Fiona Coyne, the chief executive of the Citizens Information Service, on with Brian Dobson. We had invited her on to talk to some of the volunteers who were deeply, deeply upset by the fact that they're all being thrown aside without, according to a lot of the stuff, without even a buy or leave or indeed a thank you. Enid O'Dowd. Enid, good afternoon.
Hello, Joe.
Were you listening to Fiona Coyne?
I heard most of it, but people started ringing me who'd heard her on the radio to tell me there was something on, so I didn't quite get it all, but I think I got enough to comment.
Well, she basically said volunteers are, by their nature, could be unreliable. The services have changed. It's very hard to keep up with all the information these days. You can't expect volunteers to go for training, where staff, they're paid to go for training. You are a volunteer in Rathmines Citizen Information Centre, which is now gone.
Yeah.
What do you think of these changes? Is it fair to say that the Citizens Information Board have decided to get rid of volunteers?
It would appear so, because obviously all the centres had to close because of the pandemic regulations, and the Rathmines ones closed in March 2020. Mm-hmm. And reopened with a token service around summer 2021. Now, I wanted to return, and I called in and said, here I am. Yeah. And I was told, you can't come back. It wasn't that I was unwilling. I didn't get any answer at all.
They're saying now, I see the statements from the Citizens Information Board, the paid board. They're saying it's all post-COVID. A lot of the volunteers didn't bother coming back.
Well, I can speak for Rathmines, and there was no communication with us at all. I mean, and when the centre closed for good on April the 22nd this year, I wasn't even told that, only that a colleague who was a paid employee had the thought to ring me at home and say, it's closing for good next week. The communication was non-existent.
And who owned the property in Rathmines?
It was a landlord, and our lease was up for review.
Well, they could argue the rent went up dramatically and we couldn't afford it.
No, it didn't get to rent review.
You're a chartered accountant. You've also been looking at the accounts of the Citizens Information Board.
Indeed.
And they're funded by the taxpayer.
Yeah.
Their headquarters are in Townsend Street in Dublin, apparently.
They are, yeah.
And what's the annual rent on the headquarters?
Well, according to the 2020 accounts, the rent may have gone up by them. It's close to €750,000. Oh, I've got the exact figure now. In 2020, €739,475.
So they're paying that, the taxpayer's paying that every year to rent out this
43
office.
43 Townsend Street, Dublin 2.
Okay, now you spotted something else.
I did, yes.
Read it out to us, please. In their accounts, this is
is audited by the Auditor General. These are absolutely authentic figures. Just bear with me. Yes, there is a note in the account. It says, a premises owned by the board in Dublin, that's the Citizens Information Board, not any centres, was transferred by deed of conveyance to the Health Service Executive in July 2020. This transfer was carried out in accordance with the relevant provisions of Circular 17/2016, policy for property acquisition and for disposal of surplus property, and it was approved by the Department of Social Protection and the Department of Public Expenditure and Reform.
Okay.
The transfer, now listen to this, this is horrendous. The transfer was for a nominal consideration of €100, which was netted against total legal fees of €24,816 incurred by the board in doing the legal thingamajig. The disposal of the premises is reflected in the final financial statements for the period ended 31st December 2020.
So the Citizens Information Board paid €25,000 to lawyers to give away a building. We've now located the building. I'll give the address in a second. Give away a building in the centre of Dublin for £100. It cost them 24,718 euro to get rid of that building.
Yeah, exactly.
They got 100 quid in return.
Yeah.
They rent premises. The 100 quid property is 44 North Great Georgia Street, a massive property.
Sorry, which property did you say?
They've just told us it's 44 North Great Georgia Street, which if anyone looks it up on Google Earth is a magnificent building worth millions. But anyway, they can argue that. But why didn't they even have the good grace to ask the HSE, listen, we'll give it to you for 100 quid. Would you mind paying the legal fees?
Yeah,
For 25. But they got rid of this building for 100 quid in North Great Georgia Street, which is about 800 yards from O'Connor Bridge. And they're renting a property 800 yards on the other side of O'Connor Bridge for $750,000 per annum.
Yeah, it doesn't make
any
sense.
$7 million every decade.
Yeah.
For an organisation with a budget of what, 6 or 7 million?
I'm not sure what the budget would be, but it makes no sense that they weren't using a building, a central building they had for the overall board premises. And I don't know, did they tell you what they were using the North Street, the Georgia
no,
Street
no,
for?
No, maybe it was HSE all along and they just formulized it. And also they shut down in O'Connor Street.
They did.
The biggest footfall of any, they shut
Absolutely.
Down the office in O'Connor Street.
It was very, very busy there. That building there has been empty for 2 years. It looks very run down and there is a planning notice in it saying they want to use it as a Garda station.
Yeah, and even though the Gardaí have been offered a property on the far side of the street by the OPW.
I didn't know that.
Citizens' information goes, the busiest footfall street in the country where people can ramble in, and that was the idea of citizens' information. You could walk in, have a face-to-face, and that's clearly now gone. Emmanuel Murray. Emmanuel, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you?
Your situation, you worked as a volunteer.
Yes, I did, since 2018.
And what's happened?
And basically, I went through all the training, CIS level 1, 2, 3,
okay.
And 4. And 3 and 4 involves, giving your time to do basically a college degree, more or less. There was a college degree promised to us, but it's a higher information.
Okay. You studied hard to be a volunteer.
I've got 50
volunteers to get through. Emmanuel, are you now a volunteer with the Citizens Information Service?
Not anymore.
Why not?
Unfortunately.
Why not?
Because
The Fiona Coyne, the CEO of the Citizen Information Board, said on the 1 o'clock news, many of the volunteers didn't come back after COVID.
Yeah, I heard her saying that.
Well, what's your reaction?
That is absolute nonsense. I was on Zoom meetings and, we had, I think it was 56 volunteers from
Zoom meeting.
People got so frustrated that they said, look, I'm done. I encourage one particular guy said, I encourage everyone to do what I'm doing and just get off the meeting.
Why? Why am I?
We are being told, nonsense.
What type of nonsense? You need to help me.
And many others left as well.
Why?
Because we were so frustrated at the
Emmanuel's phone is gone. My understanding is, I'll go to Jerry Ash. Jerry, good afternoon. You contacted us as well. Were you a CIS volunteer?
I was indeed, Joe. Sorry if the sound isn't great. I'm in the airport. I was a volunteer for 10 years and then I became chair of the biggest Citizens Information Service, which was the Dunleary Rathdown.
And where is the DLR service now?
Still exists. There still is a centre in Dunleary, and we had Dunleary, Stillorgan, and Dundrum.
Okay.
Stillorgan is gone. Dundrum is manned by professional staff, and Dunleary is the same. Now, at the time when we kind
so
of
so where are the where are the volunteers gone?
Well, 200 volunteers were edged out, I suppose is the way to put it. You see, this started in 2016. This isn't new.
Okay, well, it is new to most of the people in the country.
It is, in fairness.
So the Citizens Information Bureau didn't release any statements over the last few years saying we're changing dramatically. They're using COVID as the diving board to throw all the volunteers under the bus, so to speak.
They're saying
a lot of volunteers didn't come back after COVID.
No, Joe, that's in misinformation. Ours started in 2016, negotiations with CIB to change the service. Now, they started in Dublin and we had dozens of meetings regarding that. We refused. We didn't want to change the service. It was very well run. The rotas were done a month in advance. And anybody who couldn't or felt they wouldn't be there or whatever, that was dealt with. And anybody who was sick had a full list of numbers to phone.
Okay. Fiona Coyne also said that you cannot be relied upon. I mean, these are my words. Because you're volunteers and someone that start dealing with you on a Monday wouldn't be able to deal with you on a Friday.
Joe, I can tell you that's another more misinformation. We had 200, we had a rota of 200 volunteers spread out over the three centres.
She said you can require paid staff. This I'm paraphrasing. Yeah. You can require paid staff to attend training, but not volunteers.
Yes, Joe, because the civil service cannot cope with volunteers. They want its control.
Have any volunteers, to your knowledge, Gerry, and you ran the service, a big 200 volunteers, have any of those volunteers ever said to you, I don't want to do training, I don't need to be trained?
No, in fact, the opposite. We would have had problems kind of filling, you know.
They want to be able, this is Fiona Coyne as well, I'm paraphrasing. They want to be able to offer a full-time service. Many of the volunteers are working on a part-time basis.
Well, I would have done 6 hours a week and most of the others would have been the same. So 200 volunteers by 6 hours, that's an awful lot of hours. And Sheila Hayes also trained us.
The trainer, yeah.
Yeah, she also came out.
I'd love to hear from Sheila Hayes what she thought of what Fiona Coyne said. Fiona Coyne also said that the whole area of giving out information is becoming extremely complex. It's changed dramatically.
She said it's not just
social welfare entitlements, but also immigration issues, for example. Are you unable to deal with those?
Well,
questions?
I was at the time. I'm a bit rusty now because I'm no longer part of the service.
But would Sheila, for example, have trained up the volunteers on immigration rights?
Sheila would have done anything we asked her for, and we asked. If we got something in that we couldn't deal with, we would get Sheila to come in and do it. I mean, they were very personal questions. I had a lady on one time. Now, she had come down the stairs one evening to find her husband watching porn.
Okay.
Now, I first of all thought it was a joke, but it turned out it wasn't. She was desperately upset. Now, desperately upset and wants to know where she found a divorce lawyer. Now, I spent about a half an hour talking to that lady, you know, just talking her down. She eventually came into the office and we eventually talked her down. And the end result was the couples went to marriage counselling.
Okay.
And to my knowledge, they're fine.
So you were able in a warm, comfortable, there's no money changes hands.
No,
you're
no,
volunteers.
No, no, no.
You're not taking notes to put in a file that can be read by other departments or whatever.
No, nothing like that.
And the other thing that Ms. Coyne said was that 59% of the clients now access it online. They've put a lot of money into their online offering, even though the original reason for existence was face-to-face for people who wouldn't have great abilities online or otherwise. 59% are online and 45%, wait for this, Gerry, 45% are from people under 45. I don't know what that means, but anyway.
Well, perhaps it was the location we were in, but our clientele tended to be older. Dunleary is, I suppose, an ageing area. Dundrum, there would have been a lot of immigration and young families, young couples.
Okay.
But throughout the recession, the last recession, it was mainly young families coming, who had never accessed social welfare before.
And what about you being called into a meeting with They have, we know they have a PR company because they're working, there's an excellent PR company, they're working hard today. But you were called into a meeting with KPMG.
That's right, on Stephen's Green we were called in. I'd never been in the offices and never have since. That's mutable, by the way. But anyway, I was asked for a list of what we possessed. Now, most of what we had were computers and desks and, you know, various things that you would have in any office.
Yeah.
And they were paid for by CIB. I mean, they would have over the years come through grants and that. But I was to hand over that list to KPMG. Now, to this day, I have never had a thank you for any services rendered or anything. Not as much as thank you for...
But what have KPMG got to do with the Citizens Information Bureau?
I presume they were their auditors or they were using them as auditors as to what they owned, if you like.
And you say that they're saying the property that you had in your office, not in your house, by the way.
No.
Was funded by the Department of Social Protection. Yes. And this is the statement yesterday from the Department of Social Protection is aware that the Citizens Information Board reviewing the role of volunteers by the Citizens Information Service with a view to defining the most appropriate role. These are decisions of the Citizens Information Board, was funded to Citizens Information Service and not decisions by the department. Now, obviously, from what you're saying, the department funds the Citizens Information Board.
Absolutely. Totally,
and the department also carried out an in-depth critical, they call it a critical review of the Citizens Information Board, carried out by officials of the Department of Social Protection who told us they've nothing to do with it, with a load of recommendations, a slew of recommendations, an official government report. Stay there, Gerry, if you can. Simon Lane, Simon, did you hear Fiona Kine on the 1 o'clock news, the CEO?
I did, yes.
What do you think of what she said?
I was a little bit disgusted with the fact that they were talking about the fact that volunteers are actually unreliable.
What she was saying, the nature, in fairness, to the nature of volunteers is that, you know, you are a volunteer, so you can't be forced to go on a training course. You can't be forced to come in at a certain time. Is that not what you were saying?
Yeah, but the whole point of the matter is the inference by her was saying that, yeah, I understand by the nature of it, but people like us in Macroom, for argument's sake, we went to every single training course.
Yeah.
We spent time doing a 2-year course as well to get a qualification, and we were doing ongoing training every month in Bantry because Bantry and Macroom are linked together.
Yeah,
and it's just ridiculous. I, for some strange reason, we got an annual report last week from the South Munster, which is my region.
Okay,
and they're saying, well, we like to thank the volunteers and we who returned in the first phase and are helping us with our training plans for a return for further volunteers. So they're saying that. They're hoping to bring more volunteers back, but in a different role.
And are you told, well, this is the role that the Malahide 22 refused to accept. They said it was demeaning and demoralising.
Yes, but the one thing that wasn't said yesterday is that the fact that when you were asked, or you weren't even asked to come back, you were asked to apply in writing. Then you needed to go up again on a board. This is for the receptionist.
So you had to. How many years' experience did you have, Simon?
I had 7 years' experience.
So, and was there ever, insofar as you know, and you don't have to answer this question, was there ever a complaint about the standard of your volunteering, of your work?
No.
Okay. Was there ever a complaint about you not turning up and of you being unreliable?
No, because also I did extra hours, so I volunteered for extra hours when we were short.
Yeah.
But the whole point of it is that if we wanted to go back as a receptionist, we had to apply in writing, go up a board, and then get trained to become a receptionist, which is absolutely ridiculous.
And how do you feel when you hear that, Simon, given that you've given so much to it?
Disgusted. I feel like a school kid being told off by a teacher. It is, as you say, it's demeaning. Now I'm 61. I retired early because I've got arthritis. So I signed up for citizens' information because I want to keep my brain active and such like that.
Yeah.
And I got into it. So at one, certainly, many stages you get to know certain parts of the system. Yeah. You can't know every part of the system.
Okay. Well, Fiona Kine also said, with the interview with Brian Dobson, I remind people she refused to come on Liveline to talk to the volunteers. She said there's multiple queries going to volunteers. The information changes all the time and it can be difficult to keep up with. So that would probably, inter alia, she's saying, that would require a full-time staff member.
No. What happens is, and what happened in McCroom is, we have different people who have different skill sets. So yeah.
Okay, she also said the likes of you, didn't not you, obviously, people with specialist experience will be asked to run specialist clinics. Were you aware of that?
No, that was never. The only thing that we were told that was ever going to happen was you can become a receptionist or you can help the Romanians.
Okay.
Which is wrong. We were never told there was going to be specialist people. Now,
but that's what she said on the 1 o'clock. People with volunteers with special experience will be asked to offer specialist clinics. So yesterday we had a management consultant. Yesterday we had a bank manager. Yesterday we had a former taxation inspector. Now I wonder if any of them are listening. Have you been asked with your individual expertise? Some people had an expertise on Fair Deal, but most people seem to be well up on most things. Have you been asked by Fiona Kine, the Citizens Information Board, to run a specialist clinic in your area? The answer is no. Enid O'Dowd, stay with us, Simon. 51551 joe@rt.ie. Enid, you are a chartered accountant, a forensic accountant, and you're forensically going through their accounts and you're asking why they gave away a building for 100 quid and they paid 26 grand in legal fees to give away a building for 100 quid, so to speak. So they spent €25,618 giving away a building for nothing, basically. Enid, were you asked, you're a well-known chartered accountant, years of experience, were you asked to run a specialist clinic?
You see, I do run a specialist clinic in Rathmines, which has a wide range of services. I run a specialist tax and money service, and it's by appointment only.
Brilliant,
you can't just walk in.
Yeah, okay.
But we also have free legal aid 3 evenings a week. We have an evening for general law.
Well, is free legal aid not run by FLAC?
It is, but they have a service agreement with the Citizens Information Board, you see.
Mm-hmm.
So we work together. So we have one evening for general law, one for family law, one for employment law, and that's appointment only. We also have somebody who's an expert in immigration law.
Brilliant. Okay.
So you can see him by appointment only. And we also have another guy who is an expert on the Workplace Relations Commission, and he will take cases for people coming where he feels they've had a bad deal, and he'll fight to win for them. He's a great guy.
But have you been asked to keep that clinic going?
No, they won't let me back. It's gone.
And I'm just like Jerry Ash mentioned that Dunleary Rathdown said that the office in Dundrum is still open. For example, I'm only trying to get information as I go along here, but the office in Dundrum, it was a drop-in service. This was the whole thing, that people could be in the library and go up and meet a volunteer and sit down confidentially across a table, no big files being kept. But now Dundrum are saying it's not a drop-in service anymore. They're saying an appointment may be offered following a telephone consultation.
This is what happened after the pandemic.
Is this the ethos of Citizens Information Bureaus, as they were called originally, when you were
totally
set up 44
changing.
Years
so
ago?
What you have to do if you want to have a face-to-face meeting is to phone up and convince who you're talking to that you need and deserve a face-to-face meeting. It's absolutely a disgrace.
It's a disgrace.
Yeah, because some people wouldn't have the confidence to say,
of course,
look, I really need a face-to-face meeting. Now, some things can be dealt with over the phone, the more
routine
stuff.
First of all, Enid, as you know, trying to get through to people today on the phone, if I hear press 1, press hash, press goodbye. Listen, if I hear green sleeves again, it will go through my brain when I'm hanging on the phone for people. Mary Gleeson, Mary was on yesterday. Mary, you contact us because you say you're listening to Fiona Coyne, the CEO of the Citizens Information Service in Ireland. What was your reaction to what Fiona said, Mary?
Good afternoon, Joe, and thanks again for allowing me
to
speak.
Okay, off you go. We're stuck for time.
Just to say that I suppose I was frustrated and appalled, really, at what she was saying about our training for all our volunteers, which is mandatory, our 13 weeks training,
have
and our
ever,
ongoing training
said,
to cover constant changes.
She said, she basically said that there's an expectation of training. So I'm reading that is you can force paid staff to attend training, but not volunteers. Have you ever encountered any of your volunteers saying, "I'm not bothered with training"?
No, not at all. It's totally inaccurate, and I find it very offensive. I suppose to say
she said a lot of the volunteers didn't come back after COVID.
Yeah, I mean, what has happened post COVID was that any volunteers that inquired could they come back, they were told no. It appears. And I know many people around the country that have spoken to me since that has been their experience, particularly in Dublin South as well, where I have a lot of family in the service. And just to say about our meetings, Joe, like all of our meetings where we would do a needs analysis and, you know, talk with our people and everything, then we would move on to the next step, which would be the where do you go here if they need to refer to such a clinic, or where they need to go, wherever the area is, or in person we will refer them. And then there will be paperwork involved, calculations of pensions, entitlements.
Yeah, but Fiona Coyne said, and only 20 minutes ago talking to Brian Dobson, she said the queries are too complex now.
Listen to her, Mary, please.
The issue is that the client's engagement with services is changing, and what we're seeing is much more complex queries and people coming in with multiple queries, which would have been different a number of years ago. Person might have come in looking for support and filling out an application form. Now what we're getting is people coming in with very complicated issues in relation to things like employment or family law, where they might need to be referred on to the WRC. And we really don't feel that it's fair to expect that all volunteers would be able to do that.
Would you, Mary, would you be unable to tell someone, listen, you need to go to FLAC, or you need to go to a couples counsellor, or you need to go to the WRC?
No, this is what she's saying. I'm astounded, actually, at the statement, because, I mean, all of our supports are available to us. First of all, the system for us is very self-explanatory. Our training, our regular training, our regular calculations, we work in twos, morning and evening, on a rota system. We check each other's figures. Our customers come back to us for completion of paperwork. We show them step by step.
That's the other thing Fiona Coyne said, that you're volunteers, so the customer might be waiting a few weeks before they can find you again.
No, they don't come back. We actually say to them, Mary or Ger or whoever it is going to be on duty on Thursday or Friday, and we'll brief them in between, and all you have to do is come in, and then that goes from 1 to 2. But they would be delighted that
you could see
they come back in thanking
the implication was that a volunteer would have to be on duty again to have a query properly dealt with.
Sheila, our trainer, ensures that each one of us is trained up firstly. Then we have exams homework and cases that she regularly sends to us when there's a change of legislation and budget and all of that kind of stuff.
Okay.
So just a small point, Joe, as well, on the volunteer system, the strategy of the Citizens Information Board is totally contradictory from what Fiona said this morning, because if you would read that, they welcome volunteers into their service.
Well, is that true or not true?
Very upsetting to hear.
Well,
that.
Why? Because, well, have you? What's the situation in Malahide before?
As I said, we operate a full team.
Then about new volunteers. Fiona Coyne said we want new volunteers. What's the reality?
Yeah, the reality is, as you have already heard, the new volunteers and existing volunteers were not welcomed back. In Malahide, we have a waiting list, some of whom actually, because of the good service they got in Malahide, wanted to join our team.
Okay.
And so in the process, there's an interview. You're interviewed by 2 to 3 people and being non-judgmental
New volunteers.
So we have a waiting list to come on board. And Joe, we were actually stopped by the Citizens Information Board.
Okay, back after this break. Stay with us. We won't get through everyone who's a volunteer today.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
I'm just reading someone saying the O'Connell Street Citizens Information Office, it was in 13 O'Connell Street, and just down from the Gresham. I knew it well. We used it when we were in town in Dublin and we needed advice quickly. This is for people coming from outside of Dublin. That's now closed. And the Citizens Information Service, or when we looked it up, that's now to become a Garda station. So there was a Garda station originally across the street in a building owned by the OPW, still owned by the OPW. Citizens Information, there must be one of their busiest advice centres in the country for a drop-in service, face-to-face. That's what they were set up for. Citizens Information are gone. A Garda station is going in. And the building across the street, which was given by the OPW to the Garda to be a Garda station, will not be a Garda station. Sheila Hayes. Sheila, good afternoon. You were mentioned so many times as the trainer, the one that trained people. Now, did you hear Fiona Coyne?
I heard most of what she said. Two points okay. there. She said the volunteers, by their nature, are unreliable. I would point out to her that I have 44 years of service. Between us in Malahide, the 22 volunteers have over 300 years, an average of 12 years each. So what's unreliable about that, Joe?
She also said that the questions now are not just about social welfare. They're very complex.
Well, of course they are complex. They've always been complex. Life hasn't changed that much. And as volunteers, we're trained to deal with it. Somebody comes in with a social welfare issue. We'll also look at their health entitlements. Perhaps they're entitled to a medical card now that they've lost their job or now that they're ill. And we'll also look, maybe for pensioners, at all the extra benefits they're entitled to. Like last winter, we had a huge number of inquiries about the fuel allowance because people were beginning to find it very difficult to meet their energy bills.
And were you able to give that information? Was that information too complex for you, Sheila?
It was no trouble to either myself or any of my fellow 21 volunteers to give a full service to any client who came in. And our clients were only delighted to have a face-to-face interview.
You're the training officer. Fiona Coyne said there's an expectation. You can have an expectation on paid staff to go to, well, obviously you get paid to go for training courses, but you can't have an expectation with volunteers to go on courses.
I would refute that because our recruitment process.
Okay, you run the courses.
I run the course. At our recruitment, when we're taking on a new volunteer, they know exactly what is expected of them. And I have 100% attendance at training, so I have.
Did you ever complain to the Citizens Information Board, to Fiona Coyne or anyone else, saying, I can't get the volunteers to come, how do I make them come to training?
No, absolutely not.
So where is all this these issues coming from? Did you ever complain to the Citizens Information Board that I know it was mentioned yesterday, you do exams, you send out exams to your volunteers to make sure they're up to speed and different things. Have you ever complained to Citizens Information Board they're all refusing to give me information? The volunteers. Did you ever complain to the Citizens Information Board in your role as training officer? Did you ever complain to them that the volunteers didn't come back after COVID?
Oh, absolutely not.
Did you ever complain to them that we're not getting anyone interested in volunteering?
Oh, absolutely not. We have a waiting list. We've always operated a waiting list in Malahide. And I realise that we're very
asking Fiona Coyne again. We asked her yesterday. She decided to go on for a one-to-one interview with the brilliant Brian Dobson, which he is. But I'm asking Fiona Coyne again to come on back on Liveline and talk to some of the 900 volunteers, countless thousands, decades of experience, qualified people who went for exams, people who bettered themselves, people who wanted to give something back to the community, to talk to some of these people, we'll call her and see. I'm told now we called her 10 minutes ago and she refused. Okay, Liz Connolly. Liz,
hi Joe.
Did you hear Fiona Coyne?
Yes,
I did.
Okay, this is Chief Executive Assistant Information Bureau, Townsend Street in Dublin. $750,000 a year to rent the offices, which is not the only government quango to be in that situation, but it's paid for by the taxpayer. And they say they gave a building to the HSE on the other side of O'Connor Bridge for 100 quid, but they had to spend 26 grand in legal fees to give them the building for 100 quid. That's neither here nor there in one sense. And Enid O'Dowd has spotted all that in the accounts. I didn't. But Liz, what was it about what Fiona Kine said that upset you? What, that you, volunteers didn't come back after COVID?
Yes, exactly, because I started as a volunteer in 2003, got a paid position in 2004 until April 2018, when I had to retire because of my age, but carried on. And I haven't heard anything since about volunteers coming back. Nothing. There's been no communication, so... No,
sure. Just to
I
be clear,
you're debating going back.
You're in the Galway office.
Yeah.
Was in the Macroom office. We'll have someone on from the Blackpool office in a few minutes. Everywhere. I only thought this was peculiar to Malahide when we got the first call, but it's contagion, and it has never been raised as a national issue, that they fundamentally changed the nature of an organisation set up 44 years ago as a bridge between the citizen and the state, a comfortable, safe bridge where people could reveal information that they might not reveal to a state official.
Absolutely.
So, Liz, what else about what Fiona? She also said that the queries are getting too complex for you, that you can't force volunteers to go on training programs.
They've always been complex, and you know they always have, because just exactly I would agree with what Sheila Hayes said. One query leads to another, especially with the recession and people that had jobs losing them, and they actually had no idea about the social welfare field, what to apply for, what they could get. So, no, they've always been complex in my time working there. And I found the work very rewarding. I enjoyed trying to help people. But, no, that's not the case. And, again, you know, we had to up our training. When I started as a volunteer, it was fairly basic training. But as the years went by, and when I think it was 2018 or 19, I had to do, you know, a higher diploma in order to carry on doing the job.
Well,
it was something that was, you know, funded by the CIB. So, no, but we did, you know, we did in order to deal with the queries. Everybody did. It's just a pity that nobody said thanks for your time.
Well, what's being said is that the queries are now too complex.
No, they've always been complex.
What's been said now, 59% of the queries, obviously there was no other way of contacting citizens information during the pandemic. They're saying 59% of the contacts they now have. It used to be 600,000 walk-ins every year in 2019. Obviously that's gone down because you couldn't walk.
Yeah, it was very busy
before the pandemic. Yeah, but you're saying, the board that are saying this, that 59% of the queries are now online, people who are computer literate. 45% of the people who contact them are under 40. This is another reason, are under 45. I don't know what that means. Does that mean older people or whatever are meaningless once again?
Well, no, you know, possibly it would be sort of younger to middle-aged people who access the service, but I've also had quite a few, you know, people the same age as myself, which is not in the middle-age bracket anymore.
Yeah. Does the Galway service, as far as you know, still offer a drop-in facility, or do you have to run?
I'm not sure that it does. I think it's mostly by appointment because there's a huge reduction in staff now, you see, with no volunteers.
And have you been talking to other volunteers?
No, I haven't. Well, I've spoken to one or two that I've kind of met, but obviously there wasn't any social activity during the pandemic. I have spoken by phone to one or two, and they haven't heard anything.
Either, okay.
Nothing.
Okay. Thank you.
I've also spoken to a couple of paid employees who I think the service is fairly on demand.
Of course it would be. Of course it would be.
Yep.
Eamon Tynan. And Eamon, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
Did you hear Miss Kine of the Citizens Information Board?
I heard a fair bit of what she said. I just came in.
And what do you think of what she said, the bit you heard?
Well, about volunteers not returning to duty after the COVID, I'm not so sure that that's the truth. It's not the information that I have.
Well, what is your truth? Did you offer to come back, or were you in that position?
Well, no, I'm not a serving volunteer at the
moment. Okay, so you said volunteers didn't come back after COVID.
Yeah.
59% is now online.
Well, they don't have much choice, Joe, do they? I mean, the drop-in service has gone.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I know, and definitely in the Longford branch where I was involved with, most of the people who came in that we had contact with were actually drop-in.
That was the whole nature of the service, face-to-face
but
drop-in.
That was the strength of the service.
Exactly, sorry, a better word, yeah.
Yeah, that was the strength of the service.
So what is the logic behind these drastic changes?
I do not understand the logic behind it. I just simply don't understand it. If I want to phone the Longford branch now, I'm put through to Navan.
Okay.
Now, a lot of the issues, or a good few of the issues, might be very localised.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah,
you're getting rid of, local knowledge.
You're getting rid of local knowledge, which did not cost the state a penny.
No, that's true.
Was a brilliant service. I know it's the Townsend Street and the head office is funded by the taxpayer, and the $750,000 rent every year for offices near Starbucks or whatever is funded by the taxpayer. But all the volunteers, as one of them said yesterday, we didn't even get a portion of the cost of our little Christmas party we used to have at the end of the year.
Not at all.
Okay,
no.
Back after this.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Eanna O'Dowd is still... Eanna, I just want to be clear on one piece that Fiona Kine said. It was a fairly short interview. She would have been given the 75 minutes if she came on Liveline, such as the strength of the interest in the programme. This is what Fiona Kine said, and it's important to be clear on what she said about volunteers and their availability.
Yeah, I mean, I found that quite insulting. I mean, in my experience in Rathmines, like, I would do Fridays and a couple of evenings, and they would make appointments for me then. Now, if when I wanted to go on holiday or at a particular thing, I'd ring the centre and say, don't book me in for those dates.
So, in fairness to Fiona Kine, she didn't say volunteers were unreliable. What she said was, you can't force volunteers to come on a certain day. You can't force volunteers, by their very nature, to go on training courses. Now, it's now emerging from the people that this was never presented as a problem.
No, that's rubbish. Everyone I work with are very keen to access training. And once I was asked to do a training course for the staff to give them a bit of basic knowledge about income
tax. Okay, just for clarity's sake, this is what Fiona Kine said.
We have to recognise that they are volunteers, and we cannot have the same expectations of them that we would have a paid staff member. And people's change, circumstances can change, and we don't want there to be a situation where services closed to the public because a volunteer is not available. Mm. So what we are trying to do is balance the service delivery through paid staff and volunteers.
Has any service ever been closed because of volunteer unavailability?
Absolutely not. No, it seems in Malahide that they only have volunteers, I've taken it up correctly. In Rathmines, we always had paid volunteers. And when a volunteer would come, they would discuss with the manager what availability they had, so they'd
Brilliant.
Be fitted into the rota.
Yeah.
And if for any reason they couldn't come on the day, like paid staff can be sick and have to...
Of course.
So it's just not a problem. You know, people get
the why are all these problems being magicked up?
Yeah, they're not problems.
The volunteers didn't come back after COVID.
But they weren't allowed to. The queries
are increasingly complex.
I don't agree. You could always get a complex query. Sometimes people have a range of problems.
You can require paid staff to attend training, not volunteers. Was that a problem? No, we heard.
Never.
From the
trainer.
Absolutely
not.
They want to be a full-time service. Many of the volunteers are operating on a part-time basis, obviously.
They are, obviously. And some of the paid staff are part-time.
Are they?
Yeah, oh yes.
The plot thickens. Mary O'Hurley, Mary, good afternoon. Where are you based, Mary?
I'm based in Cork, Joe.
And are you a volunteer?
No, I'm not. I'm just horrified. I was listening to the programme yesterday and today, absolutely horrified at the way the volunteers are being treated. Now, first of all, I have never had to avail of the citizens' advice, but my family has, and they wax lyrical about the help they got.
Yeah.
And I just have a few questions, Joe. First one is, where is the minister? This department, it falls under the Department of Social Protection. We haven't heard anything from her. Secondly, where is the concern for the citizens of this country, the older people particularly?
Well, Fiona Coyne said the online, 45% of their contacts now are from people under 45.
What about
the other 55%?
Exactly, exactly. And I just think that this kind of, taking over this whole situation without consulting the citizens, it leads to populism, I really think, in the end, because people lose faith in the establishment when they suddenly...
But I take your point that the minister... Well, see, I haven't got it in front of me here, but the Department of Social Protection statement yesterday said they've nothing to do with the Citizens Information Board. These are their own decisions, even though we discovered within an hour of the programme coming off the air that the Department of Social Protection had done a 60-page report on the citizens with recommendations. They wrote it. The Department of Social Protection officials wrote it and made recommendations to the Citizens Information Board in May of this year. This is an organisation that said it's up to the Citizens Information Board to do what they want. It's nothing to do with us. Bizarrely, the current minister in charge of, let's be clear, they appoint the chairperson of the Citizens Information Board. They put the vote in, put the money in for in the budget. It comes from the taxpayer. Bizarrely, that's Heather Humphreys, a Fine Gael minister. But as we heard yesterday, Nora Owen, who was also a Fine Gael minister, I don't know what Nora Owen's position is on these changes, but Nora Owen was one of the founding members of the Malahide volunteer group 44 years ago. So I'd love to know what Nora Owen, the former government minister, thinks. Michael O'Dwyer. Thank you, Mary. Michael, where are you?
I'm in Cork.
And are you a volunteer?
I am, I think.
Well, what's happened?
Well, we were all stood down as a result of COVID.
They were told you did. Fiona Coyne said you didn't come back after COVID.
Oh well, Fiona has been disingenuous in the extreme.
Well, she's relying on information she's been given. In fairness,
well, that's not true, and it's unfair. Actually, it's disrespectful of volunteers, and it's unfair to the South Munster Board as well. Mm-hmm. Who have kept in contact with us, I have to say.
And is the service still available? Is there drop in face to face?
No, there is no drop in. Service obviously stopped the drop in at the time of COVID for obvious reasons.
Mm-hmm.
It just has decided. CID, sorry, have decided that the service will not go back to drop-in, or appear to have decided.
But not for health reasons.
Not for health reasons anymore. Oh, absolutely not. No. My view is that they've taken advantage of the stand down to implement a policy that they always wanted to implement. And that was to get rid of volunteers.
But that's like Aer Lingus saying. I said this when we were in the middle of the AIB thing, and they did actually do a U-turn on that. But one of the points I made, AIB saying we don't want to run branches and ATM machines, it's like Aer Lingus saying this would be a great company if we didn't have to fly planes. This, the reason the Citizens Information Board existed was as a drop-in service, was as a face-to-face service, was as a trustworthy, reliable, confidential bridge between the state and the citizen. And that's now gone, and COVID is getting blemped on everything.
Oh, yeah, well, COVID has been used as an excuse. I'm just looking at a photograph here of, I think you said, 40 years at Malahide.
44,
Of the 50th anniversary of Cork City South, as it then was.
Okay.
Of a group of us, including myself as chair at the time. And that was taken about 10 years ago, at least. So Cork City South are at least 60 years old, Citizen Information Service. And they started off purely as a volunteer organised, run, and a service provided by them. Citizen Information Board came in at some stage later on. I'm not too sure when, through which funding was from the state was given. And they also had a very legitimate remit in terms of standards and training and quality control and all that sort of stuff, which is absolutely acceptable and correct. However,
so where, Michael, as a volunteer in Cork, where do you stand now?
I don't know, but I will. I'll just quote from a recent letter from the chairman of the South Munster board, who, as I say, have been very supportive.
Very good.
And he says in it, "We share your disappointment and frustration that volunteers have not been in our service for such a long period of time." This is from March, and this was dated 21st of July, March 20, 21st of July. Now, what he also says is, as you know, SMCSI, that's South Munster, have been engaging with CIB, along with our CIS sister companies, and I am very hopeful that I will be bringing positive news to you in the coming weeks. Now, that was dated 24th of July. There is no such positive news yet, other than whatever was said by Fiona this morning. I still don't know what our position is.
But to come at it another way, Michael, you haven't told Citizens Information that I don't want to come back.
Oh, absolutely not. Okay. Oh, absolutely not.
Okay, Liz Carroll, where are you, Liz?
How you doing, Joe? I'm in Dublin, and I worked in Citizens Information for Dublin 2, 4 and 6.
Did you hear Fiona Coyne?
I did,
What did you think of what she said, the reasons why they're dead?
Her reasons are very weak. If she knew the Citizens Information, she wouldn't have made that comment. She doesn't obviously have a background in there.
Well, she's fairly newly appointed, but she's a great experience.
She probably came from social welfare.
No, she didn't. She didn't, apparently. She didn't. Oh, not that okay. I can find. Anyway, we could ask her these questions if she came on, but she's refused again to come on.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And we're asked our PR company to come on, but they obviously don't see it as their role, which is totally understandable. But if they're listening, Johnny Fallon PR, if you're listening, if you're available to come on, we'll talk to you instead of the Citizens Information Bureau, and you can rightly so you can bill them for the interview. Liz, no, rightly so. He's an employee. He's paid, and that's their job to do good work. Liz. You're a volunteer in the 80s.
Yes, 83 I started to volunteer. And I filled various roles and ended up as an organiser. And we used to do the training as well. And then I gave it up because I went into work for MAB. Okay. And then when I was working for MAB, I transferred then over to Citizens Information in Dublin 2, 4 and 6, and I developed a service. It's Rathmines. I covered Rathmines, Irish Town, Ringsend, all of those coastal areas. And we developed that service. We put in an information service in St. Vincent's Hospital because we felt that people could get well, but they have so many worries while they're lying in a hospital bed. We need to address that. So we did that, and we also set up in Our Lady's Hospice in Harold's Cross because people are coming to the end of life had a lot of worries as well.
Well done. So brilliant, Liz.
We looked at where people needed the information and the support, and we gave it. So we set up then in the Carmelite Community Centre. We had services everywhere. We had a few really good volunteers. I didn't have a lot of volunteers, just a few of them, but they were all specialist volunteers. But when we set up Rathmines, and even before that, one of the issues was that we were all to do accredited training as information officers. And while we were waiting for that to be established, myself and the likes of Sheila Hayes, we set up training with volunteers from different services and did the actual training with them so that if they didn't like it, they knew that that wasn't for them. If they showed really great potential, we were thrilled with them. And then they went on and did the accredited training. because it was a huge commitment to give. So we did all of that. We worked so hard. We had excellent volunteers who worked really, really well with the paid staff. Paid staff were all one full day and two half days.
Okay.
We only had part-time staff. We never had full-time staff.
Okay.
The only full-time worker.
Okay.
And just disgraceful.
Okay. Thanks, Liz. Appreciate it. Sorry, I'm just looking at the slew of calls that we have here, the ladder of calls I have to try and get through of volunteers who are deeply upset by the frame that's been put on, the fact that the volunteers have been... you can't let a volunteer go because they're not employees. You can't sack them because they're not employees. You can't tell them your money is being reduced because they don't get a juice. Margaret Phelan. Margaret, good afternoon.
Hello, how is it going, Joe?
What's your situation?
I was 20 years with them up until July. I gave up. They didn't let me go. I came away myself. We were given handouts, you know, for handbooks. And when I went through them, I didn't like a lot of the things I was seeing. So I thought, no.
Such as? What was being said?
Well, one thing in particular was, there's 23 codes of conduct on it, right? Now, if you broke one of them, even if you didn't know what it was, they let you go for a reason.
Yeah.
So you didn't know what was going on. There were 16 policies. I wouldn't sign the GDPR consent form, good, better, and different. I just feel that that we were very lucky. We had a lovely manager.
I know GDPR is the false, like everyone says, legal issues and GDPR and fallback this and fallback that. But if your role was being reduced to that of a receptionist, why do you need to sign a GDPR?
That's what I'd like to know. They want this for... And, I mean, that's why... Now, there's still quite a few of us there, but there's a lot of us gone as well.
And did you enjoy the work? Were you good? Sorry, Margaret. Were you good at it?
I loved it.
Were you good at it?
I was good at it.
Okay. Yeah. You're a good information giver.
I went in for a year, Joe, to thank him for things they'd done to me in the past, and I ended up staying 20 years.
And did you train and learn and learn and learn
everything.
And learn?
Yeah, everything. Yeah, yeah. And...
Fiona Corrin says there's multiple queries have become very complex.
No, they're there the whole time, Joe.
You can't expect a volunteer to go training where you can make a paid member of staff go training.
That's baloney. Absolutely baloney.
Okay, back after this break.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
We won't get through all the volunteers. We'll do our best at the end and service users, I used to add, who are deeply upset with the changes in the Citizens Information Service. Here's a quick voice note.
Hi, all at Liveline. I just want to say I'm absolutely disgusted regarding the Citizens Advice volunteers. It's a sad reflection on Ireland today and the way it treats our elderly people with their mind of information. Ireland has become an ageist, and the Citizens Advice needs advice itself on how to actually treat their personnel, whether they be employees or volunteers, in a manner that is fit for becoming of them. And it is a disgrace, I think, that the lady didn't come on to your show yesterday. I think Fiona should stand up and thank her volunteers. My name is Dee and I am in Kildare, and I'm sorry I'm at work today.
Okay, and the voice message number is 087-1843-709. It would help us if you did think of a voice message, because we're inundated with people who are deeply upset about what's emerged. I thought it was Malahide, was a problem, which there isn't, obviously, but there was a problem with Malahide, and the Malahide 22 were acting in isolation, but it's everywhere that's getting. Marie, good afternoon in Galway. What's happened in Galway Citizens Information Centre?
Hi, I've been a volunteer. I was a volunteer there for 4 years, from 2016, and had to stop, obviously, when COVID hit.
Yes.
And since then, basically, I haven't. We've had a couple of letters saying that they're looking into the situation and they'll let us know.
Fiona Coyne said people, volunteers, she didn't give a number, volunteers did not come back after COVID. Which wouldn't surprise
me. To be honest with you, I mean, I was in touch a few times and it was the constant thing was that it wasn't yet safe to come back. They weren't opening up the face-to-face, client service, and that was it. And then about a week and a half ago, I got a letter saying that they would be in touch with us soon regarding the situation for volunteers. So, but my thinking on it is that about three, four years ago, there was some kind of big restructuring of the Citizens Information Board and centres. And at that time, we didn't hear too much about it as volunteers,
But Marie, what I want to know is, what was broke that the Citizens Information Board have decided to make this drastic change in the fundamental ethos of the Citizens Information Board, which was face-to-face, drop-in, mm-hmm. bridge between state and citizen, no details passed on to anywhere else, any state agency, good, bad or indifferent. What mm-hmm. was broke that the Citizens Information Board decided we need drastic fixing?
Well, I had only been there about a year and a half when the restructuring happened, but I don't think there was anything broken. The thing is that from that time, we were told that the management had decided, in our area anyway, were of the opinion that the people dropping in to get help with forms being filled out and that type of thing, that wasn't going to be a major part of the service going forward because they felt that wasn't a necessary service anymore, that there weren't that many people who didn't have computers.
The figure given by Fiona Coyne today was 59% of people accessed, they've a super duper website, as you know, they mm-hmm. rightly so, 59% of people have accessed their website. So in other words, 59% of our clients now have computers. Now, what about the other? The other 31%?
Well, all I know from where I worked was that I would arrive in at 10 o'clock on the days I was volunteering and I would stay until 4 or sometimes 4:30, and I would constant flow of people in and out. Sometimes I'd get a chance to take some phone calls, but it was almost entirely people coming in, sitting in the waiting room, and me bringing someone in for 20 minutes or so, going out, taking the next person,
Also thinking about, Marie, what during when everything shut down, unfortunately, including places that need not have shut down, universities I'm thinking of in particular, when they could have reopened earlier, that's my point. But
yes.
What happened to all those people when the board decided to shut down every single office?
That's what I've been thinking about for all during the lockdowns. I was thinking
some
about people
difficulties
who
with language,
would,
difficulties with reading, yeah, writing, yeah. forms, yeah. don't know how to use a computer, don't know, I can't afford a laptop.
And also it's not just older people. Well, the last voice note made me laugh because, first of all, it's not just older people that volunteer, but also it's not just older people who haven't got computers. It's the lots of people in their 40s, 50s would come into me and just say, I'm sorry, I'm no good on the computer. You know, people who had
galloping to a finish. By the way, I just see on the screen here that Michael Flatley is a guest on the Late Late Show tomorrow night. That should be good. And I should also mention the return of my own programme, The Meaning of Life. It's on RT Television. We recorded the final one. They're long form, in-depth, extraordinarily well-researched by the team, interviews. The first interview is on Sunday night at 10:25. It's called The Meaning of Life. And the first interview is an interview with Micheál Martin. And I think, it's up to people to say. I can't say if it's good or bad. I suppose the best thing about it is I only ask the questions and there's not much of me in it because Micheál Martin spoke about, the Taoiseach spoke about a lot of things, including family, politics, Brian Lenihan, Brian Cowan, issues in the wider complex, the Ukraine, the whole moral issue about the Ukraine war and what we can do. That's 10:30 on Sunday night on RT Radio 1. RT Television.
Talk to
television.
Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Cora, good afternoon. Your family benefited from the volunteers and the Citizens Information Service. How?
Hi, Joe. Hello. Yes, it was to do, my mother, and she's 96.
Yeah.
And she got a letter, and at 96, she didn't really understand what it was about. I exhausted all avenues.
Okay.
I don't have a computer. I don't have a photocopier. I had no Wi-Fi because I was caring for my mother, living with her. And I tried to do everything myself. And it was somebody who said, try the citizen's information. And I went to them, made a phone call, and had a meeting. And I have to say, they were absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
They took the weight of the world off my shoulders. I can't credit them enough. They did so much work for me. And I just felt that I had somebody, you know, in my corner, and that I wasn't going through this on my own on behalf of my mother. And they're just brilliant, Joe, just absolutely brilliant. And when I heard yesterday about the volunteers, I just said to myself, my God, like, those volunteers, they could have been the ones doing my photocopying. They could have been, you know, doing the files for the girl.
Answering your questions. They're answering your questions as well, face-to-face.
You know,
face,
like, they're, you know, and I was saying, my God, they're looking at a gift horse, and, you know, as they say, that expression.
Yeah,
in the,
yeah.
You know, like, these are people that are volunteering their time. They
and their experience, and their incredible
experience.
That's what experience.
I mean. Yeah. Like, I don't know how many of them was on my mother's case that probably have worked in the different departments that we had to go through.
Well, yesterday we had a retired head of services in a large county council. We had a bank manager. We had a tax. These are all volunteers who have been let go because the service is getting too complex.
Yeah.
Okay, stay there, Cora. Siobhan is in. Yeah. Siobhan, good afternoon.
Good evening, Joe. How are you? Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for making the call.
I had dealings with the citizens information back in 2012.
Okay.
I had, very briefly, I had been working in the health service and I took early retirement because a package came on board. And when I was given it in writing, luckily, and when I retired in 2012, 28th of February. In April, I was over the phone given a 60% drop because I had worked the
So you went. So you went to the Citizens Information Service.
I went to the Citizens Information with absolutely not an idea where I was going to turn. Imagine now I was 60 years of age and given up my job because of incorrect information.
And then you're hit with a bombshell.
Hit with 60% drop.
Wow. And what did the citizens, what did the CIS, what did the volunteers do for you?
They took over from me. I was really on the verge that I may not be even talking to you today.
My God.
They took over everything. They helped me through it. They brought me to, they even accompanied me to a mediation in Dublin.
My God.
As support.
Yeah.
On the support capacity. There were two gentlemen. Could I name their names?
Just their first names.
Seamus and Richard.
Okay.
And they were absolutely, only for them, I don't know where I'd be.
Okay, and they sorted it out for you.
The end result was very, very successful.
Okay.
Thanks to them only.
Okay, Seamus and Richard. Stay there, Siobhan. Paul Bergen, along with you with Citizens Advice.
10 years, Joe. Good afternoon.
Citizens Information. Yeah, what's your situation now?
I left them. I would have left them about 3 years ago. Just to retire, really.
Okay, and did you go to all the training courses that you were told to ask to go on?
Absolutely, Joe. I went on the 2-year course, which was the compulsory one for all volunteers, and it was compulsory. And then after that, I went on an advanced advocacy one in Dalhousie Street University in Dublin.
Okay, and what do you think of what's happening now to Citizens Information?
I know you're loads of calls waiting for you, Joe, so I'd do my best not to delay, you know. But first of all, Sheila Hayes would have trained me. Now, I'm telling you now, throughout the world, whether it's Yale, Oxford, Stanford or Cambridge, you will not meet a more proficient professional than Sheila
Hayes. Well said. You said, there is an elephant in the room. What's the elephant in the room?
I feel there is. And you're almost hitting it, Joe. You've come very close to there at times. And I feel that the elephant in the room, which we have always felt over the years, was that the efficiency and the expertise that the volunteers had in the service, in the Citizens Information Service. Just as you said, Joel, I mean, the quality and calibre of people coming in with life experience from all different jobs.
So would you, I'm only thinking of this now, would you, if someone was appealing a decision of the Department of Social Protection, would Citizens Advice go along with them?
We would, of course, if they needed us, yeah, we would. And that was part of the service.
So what's the elephant in the room?
Well, the elephant in the room, we would...
The elephant in the room is that the citizens, the bureau, their offices, their full-time staff are funded by the social protection. Yeah. The trained, excellent volunteers are bringing cases against the funder. Bye-bye, happy Christmas. Maybe that's the elephant in the room, maybe it isn't. There's a slew of calls here. This is, I volunteer that we'll be talking about this again tomorrow at 1:45. Fergus Sweeney produced, Ray Darcy next.
0818 715 815 stays open until 3:15 p.m. or email joe@rte.ie.